Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. And this week, like every week, we've got a lot of information to share with you because you're at the right place for the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to hear anywhere. Hey, during this first hour, we're going to talk about a lumpy lawn. You might look out in your lawn and you realize there's some settling going on here and there. What can you do? We'll have some tips for you in just a second. Also, the battle of the rust. Sometimes you just have rust that just about can't get off. We have a couple solutions for you on that. Also, my daughter, Chelsea Lipford-Wolf, will be checking in with Chelsea on a segment that she just completed. You'll want to hear all about this and a very unique product that she used to put it all together. We've got a lot of emails, a lot of other calls. And Joe, what about that simple solution coming up around the corner?
All right, Danny, this time I'm going to be talking about how to make an ant trap, a very safe, non-toxic ant trap that you can make out of some products you probably have in the house right now.
All right, that sounds good. And Joe, you know, another thing that I'm glad we're going to share with everybody is the 9 biggest lawn care mistakes. I know that you put this article together a while back. I think it's a very timely thing. We'll kind of sprinkle these through the first hour. And speaking of doing a little bit of yard work out there, my wife is always buying, you know, bushes. And what she does is she'll buy, she says, could you help me plant these? Well, she has 3 or 4 sitting there, but she hides 3 or 4 around the corner, you know, that she don't know. I said, well, sure, I'll plant the plants. And all of a sudden, they've doubled in size. So I said, well, I'm going to be smart on this. At the shop, I have the gas-powered auger with an 8-inch bit on it, you know, that you set fence posts with. I said, I'm going to take care of this. So you put the plants where you want them, and I'll dig the holes. Vroom, here I go. Boom, 1, 2, 3. I mean, within less than 90 seconds, basically, I had 7 holes dug.
Wow. Just,
and really deep, even though the soil went back on it, it still loosens it up good. I was able to widen it out until I got to hole number 8. And then I'm saying, oh, I got this. Boom, I'm going down about, maybe 8 or 10 inches, and I hit a large root. And when I did, this powerful auger that was running wide open and me going, I got this, I get, and that thing turned and directly hit me right in the front of my thigh of my left leg. And I'm telling you, it's like someone hit me with a sledgehammer.
I don't mean to laugh, but it is pretty funny. I wish I had seen video of that, you hopping around
on
one foot?
I really entertained you on this. Yeah, matter of fact, I should check my my security footage on my camera. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of funny videos that come off of those cameras, like, you know, people falling in swimming pools or something like that.
Or augers stuck in the ground spinning until they run out of gas.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. But yeah, that hurt. That hurt.
I'm glad it didn't hit you in the ribs, because that would be painful.
I know. Well, I'm glad I didn't do it on the first hole. Eighth hole, I was able to finish it up with a shovel and planted everything and everybody.
Well, I'm glad you missed all the irrigation lines too.
Yeah, I know. Well, I knew where they were. I've already hit all of them. I know where they are. So, hey, Joe, let's go over this list. I'm anxious to share this with everybody. You know, because sometimes you crank up the mower and you go and you start mowing and you do it the same way, and you don't realize maybe there's a better way and a way that you can have a healthier lawn by avoiding some of this mistakes. So why don't you just take a few of these, and then we'll sprinkle the rest of them throughout the hour.
Okay, there are 9 of the biggest lawn care mistakes, and here's how to avoid them. The top 3 are cutting the grass too short. You know, a lot of times you think, well, you know, I don't want to mow every week, so I'll just cut it really shorter. Well, what happens is you're trimming off much of the energy-producing top growth, and that puts unnecessary stress on the plant, and you wind up with a lot of brown patches. So the general rule is grass should never be shorter than 3 inches long, and that's regardless of what type of grass it is. And you can adjust your cutting height of your mower. Most people don't do that, but you can adjust it so you never trim off more than 1/3 of the leaves of the grass. So just remember, as you're cutting it, you want it 3 inches long, and you never want to remove more than 1/3. The next is, and this is related, mowing with dull blades. I mean, I've talked to some friends and I asked them, "Have you had? When's the last time you had their lawnmower blade sharpened?"
You get that funny look on their face.
Yeah,
huh?
They just buy another lawnmower. Yeah. Oh, it's been 10 years. I'm just going to buy another. Because what happens, of course, is dull blades rip through the grass and they leave jagged ends, which turn brown. And you're supposed to sharpen your lawnmower blades every spring. And then they also recommend, again, about halfway through the mowing season. Now, like, I've never done that, and I don't have any issue with my lawnmower. I sharpen the blades maybe once every 2 years, and that seems to be enough. But at least once a year. I don't know if you really need to do it twice a year unless you're scalping the ground and hitting rocks, which, of course, does happen occasionally.
You can look at the blade and, you know, check it out and everything to see, because a lot of times, you know, if you have a portion of your yard that doesn't have grass, but, you know, you're mowing over it to get to the other side, boy, that rocks and sand and dirt can really erode that blade considerably. What I would suggest is buying another blade just like you need, and even though it's a brand new blade, I would still put a little edge on it with your file, or, you know, you can do it mechanically. Even a belt sander, you might be surprised that a belt sander can put quite an edge on it. Then you have that spare. Then you're taking one blade off, putting another one on, and then sharpen that one for future use. So that does make a big difference in the health of your lawn. What about another one, Joe?
And before I move on to the third one, I want to mention, if you're messing with your lawnmower blades, always take off, disconnect the spark plug, because there's a chance if it's connected and you turn that, because when you lift the turn over the lawnmower, you're going to be moving the blade back and forth, that this thing could start. So, you know, the motor could start up. So, you know, just be careful when you're doing that. Third one is not testing the soil. Another mistake. Danny and I talk about this all the time. For grass to germinate and grow really strong, the soil must have the right pH. And grass grows best when the soil pH is between 6 and 7.5. And you can buy a DIY soil test kit at any home center for $10 or $15, or you can send it to a county cooperative extension office. Almost every city and town has one. But really test that, because you want to, the pH scale ranges, by the way, from 0 to about 14, which 7 being neutral. And again, grass grows between 6 and 7.5.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're going through the 9 mistakes that lawn care mistakes and how to avoid them. We're down to number 3. But Joe, let's go on to number 4, because that's one that you can get into an argument with people over whether to bag and collect the clippings or not. So what did you find out in your research?
Right. Well, they say as you mow, you don't collect the grass clippings. Now, this is particularly effective if you have a mulching mower. But either way, they say don't collect the clippings. Instead, leave them on the lawn to decompose, and they'll provide moisture and nutrients to the existing grass. Now, the one caveat is if their clippings are clumped together, you know, if you wait till the grass is too long to cut it or it's damp, you'll leave behind clumps. And of course, that's not good for your lawn, because they could form a mat and suffocate the grass and cause brown spots. So don't collect the clippings. And then, you know, rake them out. If you find they're clumped together in certain areas, just rake them out so that they don't cause any damage to the existing grass.
All right. That sounds good.
Well, what do you do in your lawn, by the way?
Well, I used to catch the clippings because, you know, it's almost mowing and raking at the same time.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I'll tell you, it's so cumbersome, though. I mean, you will get so much in a bag, and then you have to stop, and then you're dumping it out. And
it,
you know,
fills
I did that
up
for a
really
while
quickly,
Yeah, and finally, I'm not doing it anymore. And, you know, occasionally, if you have some excess leaves or something on there, once it's good and dry, you can take that leaf blower and pretty much disperse it or move it to the neighbor's yards. Either way, you know,
that's awful nice. Just make sure it's the downwind neighbor, because the upwind neighbor will end up back on your property.
That's true. That's true. You know what I do hate to see, whether it's an individual or a lawn
What's
service,
that?
Particularly blowing those leaves out into the street.
I know.
Because
I see that all the time.
It's first of but if it blows out in the street and gets into the drainage, especially when you're talking about the crucial drainage we have, you know, living near the water and so forth, it can really cause a lot of problems. So it's always better to if you're going to blow it in a pile and bag it up and then put it in the mulch, you know, to be able to get in your compost pile or, you know, be able to utilize that somewhere. Hey, we're just getting started on the Today's Homeowner Radio Show this week. We have a lot of lawn care tips we're going to share with you and a whole lot more information. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio.
At the Home Depot, our power tools are made for moms who do it all. Like the RYOBI ONE+ 2 Tool Kit for just $139 that comes complete with a cordless drill and impact driver. So no matter if she's making improvements to her home or constructing a house for the birds in the backyard, she'll be equipped with tools that are as powerful as she is. Get mom the RYOBI ONE+ 18-volt power drill and impact driver kit for just $139 this Mother's Day exclusively at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Replacing your home's roof is a big deal, so it's not something you want to do more than once. That's why a quality metal roof makes so much sense. Metal roofs are stronger, more durable, and stand up to severe weather like hurricanes far better than traditional shingle roofs. They improve energy efficiency, lower maintenance, and come in a wide variety of styles and colors to fit any type of home. Learn more about how a quality metal roof can protect your home for a lifetime. Get your free Metal Roofing Alliance Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com/todayshomeowner.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We're nationally syndicated all over this country, including this station in Camden, Arkansas, KCXY 95.3 FM. And we certainly appreciate everybody in that area of Arkansas listening in. We want to help you out with any challenge you might have around your home. Pick up the phone and call us 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email anytime at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go to Judy, a homeowner in Alabama. Judy, welcome to the show, and what's going on in your house?
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you helping me. We bought the house 20 years ago, and prior to that, an old oak tree had been cut down in the front yard. I'm guessing it was over 100 years old. By the size of the stump hole. They did grind the stump down. But over the years, we're finding a lot of very deep ruts in the yard. And where the stump was has become a sinkhole. And I assume it's because all those roots and the stump are rotting under the yard. And how do we fill that in? We've tried just dumping dirt, but these are little ruts. You'll be walking along and all of a sudden my foot goes down. And you can't see it from the top. It's just when you step on it that you find it.
Well, I can tell you I have experienced this quite a bit, especially back. Hurricane Frederick hit the Mobile, Alabama area in 1979. And, of course, thousands and thousands of trees were destroyed. And, of course, people came and cut them down. The stump grinders were everywhere, ground everything down. You use that mulch in and around your flower beds and such, and you rake it out. The grass grew over it, and you go, okay, not too bad. But you're exactly right. The roots that are under there, which can be a pretty substantial when you're talking about oak trees and other type of trees that have the large spreader roots, and they do deteriorate and they do create those trenches. The thing about it is it's so impactful to your yard to try to dig out that debris. It really is best just to continue feeding dirt on it. Feed good dirt. You want good topsoil. You may even want to mix it with a little bit of peat moss, a little bit of sand, and just keep feeding those areas. Let the grass grow back up through it. Feed some more into it, and you'll find the bottom to that hole. It might seem impossible, and you may even try to find someone that has a small, that can deliver a small amount of topsoil, and that will make it less expensive than buying all of the bags to put in there. But I wouldn't recommend necessarily pouring any gravel down in there or anything. You could, but I would just, in my mind and in my yard, I would feel better that it being all dirt so that the grass can, you know, continue to flourish. And if you put any other trees in that area, it'll do the same. But I still see depressions in yards all over that you know were a tree that had been ground like that. And so you have to kind of top dress it a little bit. And again, you'll find the bottom to that hole.
Well, and I was thinking, we do have a couple of voids that we're seeing growing under the front walkway, and I was tempted to pour some pea gravel down in there as well as dirt, but you're saying don't use any gravel or anything like that.
Well, in a situation like that, gravel's not a bad idea because that's going to help you on the drainage from that part of it. That's up near, you know, any kind of, and it's good just to put a little gravel, then put that dirt and really pack it in there well. And try to put a generous amount in it to where the water will not settle there. If the water ponds there or settles there, it's going to find its way under that concrete, and eventually you'll have some settling. So I would try to just pack that dirt in there the best you can. The grass will grow right up through it.
Yeah, well, yeah, we had done that several times in the stump area, but my husband kept finding I got to do more and more and more. But that really is the only solution, is to keep putting dirt in there.
Yeah, I would just keep feeding it in there and packing it in there, and you'll see at some point it stops. I've done it many, many times, exactly what I'm describing, and you just wonder, how big is that hole down there? But after a while, it starts filling in and gets back the way it should be.
Okay, now, I have one other question. We have a second stump that's not near the house, but my husband does a lot of woodworking, and he has a lot of wood shaving. From a planer and all, and he had dumped tons of wood shavings in the hole. It's in a different hole. Mm-hmm. Is that acceptable to use the wood shavings like that? I was afraid it would draw termites or something like that.
Well, I don't think you'll have much of a problem with that. You probably would want to mix a little dirt with it because it will also deteriorate, and just like it does in any type of compost pile and so forth where it's used or in the garden. Mm-hmm. So it's good for filler, but I'd mix a little dirt with it to make sure that it packs out really well and it'll stay in there.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you. Thank
all right,
you,
Judy. I know it seems like a bottomless pit, but believe me, I've done it many times and you'll be able to surface it out pretty well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you helping me.
Okay. Our pleasure. Thanks so much and have a great weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of those things, Joe. I don't know if you've experienced much of that, but I still see yards all the time where you'll just see those depressions and you know that trees have been taken out or destroyed by storms and everything. And it can sure gobble up a lot of dirt over the years.
Yeah, that's why they don't recommend. In fact, around here where I live in Western Connecticut, you're not allowed to bury tree trunks and stumps and whatever, you know, debris, because people, you know, the trees die and they fall, they get damaged, and what are you going to do with all that stuff? You can't burn all of it. So sometimes people bury it. But what happens, of course, is once it decomposes, the ground caves in. And I've heard of some horror stories where that's happened near swimming pools, where they dug a swimming pool and they didn't realize someone had buried some tree trunks or stumps. And then over time, it you know, decays, a void develops, and the whole pool caves in. So you know, you definitely want to avoid that.
Hey, let's get one of our emails in here. You can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came in from Susan. Says, my exterior wood door needs a fresh coat of oil. After oiling it, can I then apply a wood water sealer, or should I put the sealer on first and then oil the door? Joe, I'm not sure where this oil's coming from. You know, if she's talking about oil. Man, not talking about
oil.
I
think it means an oil finish. I think you're talking about an oil finish, right? Maybe it was never painted.
Well, yeah, it's a wood door. Okay, I got it. Yeah. What do you think on that? I mean, I guess you can apply a sealer or a urethane or polyurethane coat over the oil finish, much like stain, or is this one to basically leave it to the oil to protect the door?
Yes, technically you can apply a sealer over an oil finish, but I wouldn't do that because if the oil's not absolutely bone dry, the top coat finish will fail. The sealer will fail. So I suggest foregoing the sealer altogether and just reapply the oil, you know, once or twice a year. That's a great thing about an oil finish is you're not like painting it on, it's hardening, it's soaking into the wood. So you can just clean it and reapply it as often as necessary.
All right. Yeah. That's one of the things you need to make sure that you, never ever put any kind of coating over something that might be damp. Sometimes right. It may say what the drying time is on something, but your particular situation and the humidity level of where you are and that kind of thing. I'm a big believer in fans. You know,
you have a lot of fans.
To put those fans, have that breeze blowing across that that painted. It just seems like it helps the drying conditions no matter what, because certainly I live in a very humid area, so that bound to help a little bit. But we hear a lot of problems with furniture and finishes and so forth that are, you know, where they just don't dry. That's almost always either you didn't mix the paint or sealer up enough, or it's old and it can kind of start separating that. All of those are a problem.
Where we hear it most often is someone applies a stain to a piece of wood, then puts polyurethane on it before the stain is completely dry or they haven't wiped it down enough where some of the pigment is sticky. And then, of course, then you have a mess because the polyurethane dries, but it doesn't adhere to the surface. And now you got a big mess. You have to clean it right basically back down to almost bare wood.
Hey, we're going to take a short break here on today's Homeowner Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few ways of busting that rust off of anything you may have around your house. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Weed and feed products are all about efficiency. You feed the lawn and treat the weeds all in one pass. Well, Vigoro has taken that efficiency to a whole new level with their Assurance particle technology. It distributes more particles per square foot to deliver even feeding and even greening with no burning guaranteed. The fertilizer greens in just 72 hours and treats weeds right down to the roots. The formula also contains time-release nitrogen for extended feeding that lasts up to 2 months. The fertilizer can be applied in all seasons to improve the lawn's ability to absorb water and nutrients while controlling the growth of weeds like common chickweed, dandelion, and clover. So get your bag of Vigoro Weed and Feed plus some lawn fertilizer at your local Home Depot today. Good timing on that to get those lawns fertilized a little bit. Let's get right to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Rose is on the line right now. Rose, welcome to the show and tell us what's going on around your house.
Thank you, Danny. Love the show. My house is about 23 years old and I moved here 3 years ago. And I've noticed these little rust scratches at the bottom of my tub. I tried different things to see if that would remove it. Obviously, it's not going away. So I went to Ace Hardware and I bought this little jar of some kind of paint. They said, let it dry, then get a fine sandpaper, sand it down, which that didn't even work. And it's not helping any, and it doesn't even match the same color.
Hmm. Yeah, that's unusual that they would recommend that you just simply paint over it. That's that's not going to solve the problem. We've had a lot of homeowners have a lot of frustrations with rust and different products that some work, some don't. What do you think on this, Joe? A lot of times when you have a situation like this, sometimes you go and buy maybe a couple different things to try because some work better than others depending on the exact source of it. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, Rose, I see the photograph that you sent us, which helps, and it looks like it's right around the drain of the tub. Well, first, to remove it, you might want to try just soaking it in white vinegar, just white distilled vinegar. I've used that to remove rust from lots of different rusty hardware and tools, that kind of thing. Or there's a product called Iron Away that's also great at removing rust stains. And you can just apply it and let it soak in a little bit, then maybe scrub it with an old toothbrush or something like that. So once you get the rust, then what do you do? I know that they do make, it looks like fingernail polish, but it's, it comes in a little jar and it has a brush on the end of the cap.
Yeah.
And it's used for like touching up refrigerators and, you know, anything that has that's white, that, that, you know, an appliance, and that might work. Or I know auto dealers sell white paint for chips on cars. Something like that might work. Now this is obviously an area that's continuously exposed to water. So, you know, how long are you going to, will the repair last? I'm not really sure. But that's the only thing I could recommend. I mean, you could also try just sealing it with something clear, but then you'd see, you know, after you clean away the rust, then you'd see the, you know, the metal or what's left of the rust behind, you know, something clear like a marine varnish or something like that, since it's such a tiny spot. But I think I would try removing it with white vinegar, iron away, and then getting some of that like enamel, white enamel touch-up paint.
Yeah, that's what I did buy. A little bottle and everything, but yeah. You know, they try to get you to match up the right color while you're in the store. So obviously that doesn't.
Yeah, well, the color matches something that's brand new, and of course, you know, yeah. So it almost never matches. But it's more important that if the color's off a little bit, it's more important that you're sealing the area so it's not going to continue to rust.
Right. Yeah.
You know, a more permanent solution, also a more expensive one, would be eventually you could replace what's in the bottom of your tub with a drain that's wider that would cover that area. Then it wouldn't be an issue. But that, you know, that would require calling in a plumber and getting him to replace it with a larger one. It would have a larger gasket underneath it. So that's another option.
Yeah, it's about 6 inches long. I mean, it may not look that big in the picture, but it's about 6 inches long. And it looks like somebody put something down that was iron or whatever, and they scraped the bottom.
Oh, I see.
It doesn't look like it's thick, you know.
And this is a cast iron, and what is the tub made out of?
That's the question. I mean, my house is 23 years old, so I'm not really sure what it was made of. I know it's not fiberglass.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, it's either metal or it's cast iron. I mean, you could tell if you just rap on the inside of it with your knuckles and it sounds hollow and like a drum, then it's steel. If it sounds really solid, you know, like a cast iron pot, then that's what you've got. And I would imagine what it is.
Like if you break your knuckles, then you know,
yeah, have someone else do that part of the time.
Yeah, I just did that, and it sounds a bit hollow to me.
Yeah, well, it's probably metal. I would try the iron away. Yeah, I would try I mean, if you have white vinegar in the house, try it. Otherwise, go out to a home center, get some iron away.
Okay. All righty. Well, you know, we'll give that a try and see how it goes. And after that, I guess I'll just have to deal with it or push out a few bucks to get that professionally done. But I'm trying to avoid that if possible.
All right, well, good luck, Rose.
Well, thank you both.
Good luck,
I really
Rose,
appreciate it. Love your show. And thank you so
much.
Oh,
our pleasure. And thanks for being part of the show. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, we're sharing with you the 9 biggest lawn care mistakes and how to avoid them. We've talked earlier about cutting the grass too short. You don't want to do that. Mowing with dull blades, never a good idea. Test the soil. Very important to know what kind of pH level you have. And the experts say do not collect the grass clippings. They're really good nutrients for your lawn. Joe, we're down to number 5. What do we have for number 5?
Okay, the next two are related. Not dethatching your lawn. Mm-hmm. Most people don't dethatch it, and they don't aerate it. Dethatching is essentially just removing thatch, which is a dead layer of organic matter, grass clippings, shredded leaves, that kind of thing, that floats down to the surface, and it covers the soil below the grass. And of course, that makes it hard for the grass to grow. And they say that any thatch layer that's about a half inch or thicker will completely starve your lawn because it prevents moisture and sunlight and everything else from getting to the root of the plant. So get a dethatching rake, or you can rent a dethatcher. And aerating is also very seldom done and is considered by many pros as one of the most important steps in maintaining a really healthy green lawn. And aerating is simply a machine that punches holes in your lawn. And you want a core aerator, not one that's just poking holes, but it's poking holes and pulling out little plugs of dirt. And you can rent one. And we often recommend, Danny, that check with your neighbors and you can share that rental cost, because, you know, the average size lawn, you can aerate it with one of these walk behind machines. If it takes you 10 minutes, it would take a long. That'd be too long. Mm-hmm. So rent, you know, maybe two or three neighbors, you can reduce that cost significantly.
There you go. So we'll cover some more of the 9 biggest lawn care mistakes in just a little bit here on today's Homeowner Radio. But next, it's time to check in with Chelsea. Chelsea Lipford-Wolf will be here to tell us all about her latest project. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Looking for an easy DIY project to transform your concrete patio steps or walkway? Check out Roller Rock from Deitch Coatings. Just roll on this tough, decorative, textured concrete coating. It's made from real stone. This is a pre-mixed, self-priming formula. Best of all, Roller Rock resists water, stains, impact, and abrasion, plus harsh UV rays, heat, and sub-zero winter conditions. Order your 1, 3, or 5 gallon container of Roller Rock today to upgrade your home's exterior. Go to DeitchCoatings.com. That's DeitchCoatings.com.
Hey, I'm Chelsea Lipford Wolf. I'd love for you to check in and see what projects I'm working on in and around my house. All you have to do is type in checkinginwithchelsea.com into your favorite browser. You'll find my weekly blog projects and my feature web show with small, manageable DIY projects aimed at making your home your own. And if that's not enough Chelsea for you, find me on Instagram and Facebook for behind-the-scenes updates of what I'm working on when I'm not on Today's Homeowner TV. Again, that's checkinginwithchelsea.com. Brought to you by TiteBond.
Retractable screen doors are all about the view and convenience. That's why Wizard Screens made the VistaView retractable screen door, the most sleek and convenient screen door on the market. The VistaView screen allows you to easily and safely stop your screen across any size door. No more noisy slam back to disturb your peace and quiet. Experience the magic of retractable screens with Wizard Screens. Check out GetWizardScreens.com to learn more.
Take Today's Homeowner with you wherever you go with our popular podcast channel. Listen to our daily tips for today's homeowner. Get answers to your most common questions with our Ask Danny podcast. Or catch up on past episodes of the Today's Homeowner radio show. They're all designed to help you find solutions that work for your home. And they're available on demand on our Today's Homeowner podcast channel. Just search Today's Homeowner podcast on your favorite app and listen today. Installing electrical switches and outlets is time-consuming, even for pros. But Leviton is changing the game with their new Decora Edge line of wiring devices. Just push stripped 14-gauge or 12-gauge wire into a color-coded termination port and close a lever that clicks into place. It's faster, easier, and safer to install. Plus, the connections are all inside the device, so there are no exposed metal parts to worry about. Find out more at leviton.com/Decora Edge.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
If you haven't been by checkinginwithchelsea.com lately, you need to check it out. All kind of great information on there for just about anything you want to do around your house. And we're real happy to have Chelsea Lipford Wolf with us right now. Chelsea, welcome to the show, always. I know when you filled in for me a few weeks back, heard a lot of good things about it. But tell us about this new project that you've just completed.
Yeah, well, you know, you helped me update my master bathroom, I guess almost a year ago, and we installed a brand new vanity in there. Well, I couldn't leave well enough alone, and so I wanted to jazz up that vanity and create what's kind of popular right now in the furniture world is like a reeded, fluted look. So if you think of like fluted molding with like the vertical lines and applying that same idea to furniture and cabinetry. And so I used wooden dowels and glued them to like the recessed panels of the shaker style doors on my vanity. And I had a black vanity, and applying the wood tone dowels on the front just kind of gave it a nice warm look and added a lot of texture to the room. But I only used 1/8 of an inch dowels. So they're very tiny. And you can't nail something that's small. I don't make nails small enough for that kind of thing. And so I glued all of the dowels in place. Because it's a vertical surface, I left the vanity in place while I'm doing all this. I used TiteBond's quick and thick multi-surface glue because it's designed for those vertical applications because it's a thicker glue so it's not going to run down your vertical surface while you're getting your material in place.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So often you use some glues that are just too liquidy, and boy, you have a mess everywhere and it runs down, especially on a vertical surface. So that sounds like the perfect application for that.
Yeah, and since the glue dries clear, you don't have to worry about, you know, using too much glue, which is usually your problem, Dad.
Yeah, for every gallon of glue Danny buys, he actually uses about half a quart.
Hey, right.
Hey, Chelsea, that's why everything's stuck to the floor of his shop from all the glue dripping off. Someday I'm going to go visit his shop and just find a pair of shoes. Danny would untie to get out. So these eighth-inch dowels, you glued them like side by side, right? So they're like completely cover the surface, or are there spaces?
So I think I had 6 and 7/8 wide, so I used 55 dowels.
Wow.
More panel, because they're so small. But right. that's how deep my recess was, and so I didn't want them sticking out.
Sure.
And so it all just fit perfectly.
And then once it's glued, did you... You painted it to match the door, I suppose, or what happened after?
No, that? I just sealed it with I used an exterior urethane. So because of the water in the moisture in the bathroom. Also, I had some left over from the outside of our house, so I didn't have to buy anything else. But I have thought about doing maybe like a wash, like mixing black paint with water and diluting it a little bit more like a stain and just kind of paint it on there. But
yeah.
That's a project for another day.
Another day. Yeah, that's why it's important to glue is dries clear, because, you know, you can just leave it natural or put an oil fin it, because otherwise the glue would be as obvious as the dowels themselves.
Right. And I did clean up the glue as best as I could, of course, with the water cleanup.
But, you know, when you're doing some upcycling on different furniture, or maybe you have kind of an old sad piece of furniture like that, great idea to take this reading or the dowels, run it vertically or horizontal, use tight bonds quick and thick to install it, and then paint it, stain it, or do whatever. And of course, this is a video step-by-step is posted right now, I understand.
Of course, at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
CheckingInWithChelsea.com. It's always good for you to check in with us and keep us straight. So get back to grabbing your glue gun and get some more projects done.
All right. See y'all soon.
Thanks, Chelsea.
All right. Thank you. Again, that was CheckingInWithChelsea.com. You'll be able to see exactly what Chelsea was talking about there. The she's right, that idea of adding texture with something like that is something that's real popular. I'll tell you, many times when I've been on vacation or been down to the Caribbean or whatever, you know, the little restaurants, all of them have, you know, bamboo. And I'll sit there sometimes and I'll go, how long did it take them to put those 9,000 pieces of bamboo on, you know, on the cabinet or overhead or whatever? Amazing, some of the work being done there.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is how many different types of glue Type Bond keeps coming up with. You think you're making glue and you make a really great glue. Why do we need two great glues? Well, now we have 10 great glues, and they're making them for specific surfaces, specific needs, in this case, vertical application. And I caught that Chelsea said the product name was actually multi-surface. So it's not just a wood glue, which I wasn't aware of. Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So you can use it in a lot of different ways, and you can find out more about it by going to TightBond.com. Hey, when we come back here on today's Homeowner Radio, it's Simple Solution time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Last-minute trips to the store can prolong a simple project, like fixing a leaky toilet, wasting time and money. Fluid Master is on a mission to fix that with the Everything Toilet Tank Repair Kit. It includes all the necessary components to fix any and everything inside your toilet tank, even specially designed tools to simplify the job. So stop flushing money down the drain. Fix it without frustration with the Everything Toilet Tank Repair Kit from Fluid Master. Pick up yours at your local home improvement store or visit shop.fluidmaster.com.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org.
Got a project? Titebond sealants are the toughest in the industry, trusted by builders and contractors for reliability and durability. Our weather-resistant formulas stand up to extreme conditions. With extensive color matching availability and exceptional adhesion, they're versatile for any exterior use. No matter the job, count on high performance for best-in-class results. Titebond sealants, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
At the Home Depot, our power tools are made for moms who do it all. Like the RYOBI ONE+ 2 Tool Kit for just $139 that comes complete with a cordless drill and impact driver. So no matter if she's making improvements to her home or constructing a house for the birds in the backyard, she'll be equipped with tools that are as powerful as she is. Get mom the RYOBI ONE+ 18-volt power drill and impact driver kit for just $139 this Mother's Day exclusively at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
It's always fun during this time of the show to turn it over to my buddy Joe Truini for another simple solution. What do you have for us, Joe?
All right, Danny, here's an effective, non-toxic, that's the important part, way to get rid of ants. What you can do is get a small plastic tub, like a cream cheese tub or sour cream, something like that. What you're going to do is drill 4 3/16-inch diameter holes. That's about the size of an ant. They can crawl through there without any problem. 4 of them evenly spaced around the sides of the tub, about a half inch or so up from the bottom. And then you want to, in a separate bowl, mix 3 teaspoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of borax, which you can get at any hardware store or home center. It comes in a powder form. Then 1/4 cup of warm water. Mix it up to dissolve the sugar. Put a piece of bread in this container, this little plastic tub with the holes in it. Put a piece of bread in there, or even a waffle if you have like frozen waffles, something like that you can put in there. Then pour that sugar and borax water on top to completely soak the bread. You want to completely saturate it. Snap on the lid and set the tub wherever you see ants. What will happen is the ants, within maybe a day or two, the trap will start attracting ants and they'll climb in through the holes. They'll eat that borax-soaked bread and carry bits of it. This is another important part. They'll carry bits of it back to the colony to feed the other ants. And what happens, of course, is the borax, the sugar attracts them and makes it tasty, but the borax will kill the ants when they share it in the colony. So then you check the tub every, whatever, I don't know, depending how many ants you are, you might have to check it every 2 or 3 days, and you can add more sugar, borax, water, or bread as needed. So there you go. Nice, safe way to get rid of those ants.
And another very timely, simple solution to help you control those ants during this time of the year. A reminder, you can go to todayshomeowner.com/simple solutions for a whole lot more information just like that. Hey, we've been sharing with you the 9 biggest lawn care mistakes and how to avoid them. We're down to number 7, 8, and 9. Share those with us, Joe.
All right, the first one is improper fertilizing. Most people know it's important to fertilize, but they usually either apply the wrong fertilizer or apply too much fertilizer, which can do more harm than good. So get the right fertilizer for your lawn and check with the person you're buying it from and find out not only if it's a correct fertilizer, but the application rate, how much you put down, and when you put it down, because it's a lot different putting down fertilizer in March than in September. So that's the first one. Number 7 is improper fertilizing. Overwatering. Another thing is, everyone knows lawn needs water, Danny, but overwatering is as detrimental as underwatering. So again, check the conditions. Obviously, if it's raining all the time, you don't want to be watering too much. Watering, and you want to water just to the depth, like a half inch down, so that the roots are getting water. You don't want water puddling on your lawn. And then the last one is not raking up leaves. And like, no one enjoys raking leaves, but you got to remove the leaves from your lawn at the end of the season, because if you wait until all the leaves have fallen, they'll create a mat, a wet, damp mat, and of course that'll suffocate and kill the lawn, and also it'll breed fungal diseases. So clear off those leaves, and don't wait till all the leaves are off the tree. It'll be quicker if you do it how often you need to, 3 or 4 times before the end of the season. Because if you wait too long, first of all, you might not get to it. And secondly, you're just taking a risk of killing that grass.
Yeah, there you go. So it's a few simple things. Sometimes lawn work can be a bit overwhelming, but if you tackle it a little at a time and do some of the things like we've shared with you here, it'll make it come together a lot easier. Also want to remind you on what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show. This weekend is a brand new show we're calling A Weather-Wise Exterior. If you're considering a metal roof for your house, you need to see this show because this is an amazing house right on Mobile Bay, just south of Mobile, Alabama. Beautiful thing, but it really needed some work on this roof. So the roof we did a lot of other things in repairing some water damaged areas and even using some concrete to repair a large wood piling. You might not think about using concrete like that, but it worked great. You can find out where you can see the Today's Homeowner television show in your area by going to todayshomeowner.com. Well, that's going to wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. Danny Lippert here, along with my co-host Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll see you soon.